The Guardian.
We're in the basement of Honest John's Records in West London, which is, to anybody who's interested in music, it's an Aladdin's cave, to coin a journalistic cliche, of music, and sort of surrounded by vinyl and CDs and so on. And with me is Mark Ainley from Honest John's, and he's the man who put together Living Is Hard, West African Music in Britain, 1927-29. Now, Mark, these were recordings made by Zonophone, but they were West African musicians recorded in London. Why were they recorded in London?
I think most of them were resident at the time in this country in different major cities, ports and London, like Liverpool, Cardiff. Some of them travelled, a couple of groups that got sponsorship, but other individuals were resident. Some were amateur, some were underground, and some were quite established A&R men, you know, that had been to recording sessions in Germany and so on.
They were recorded for a West African audience. They weren't recorded for sort of Western people who are, you know, the sort of Guardian readers, if you like, of the time, who may have been interested in African music. They were actually West African musicians recorded for West African audience.
Yeah, like a lot of the international recordings, there's huge output that EMI and the forerunners of EMI orchestrated in those three decades. They were intended to be all sent back to those countries where the music originated from.
You mentioned that they were also not only trying to sell gramophone records, but they were trying to sell gramophone equipment as well. I mean, was there much of a market there for gramophone equipment and records?
I think in the first few years of the 1930s, they sold something like 30,000 records to West Africa. You can find photographs of gramophone company record shops, you know, in Asia Minor, somewhere in Asia Minor, where the windows are full of horns and players, and obviously if you go in the 78s.
One thing that struck me listening to Living Is Hard is the quality of the sound recordings, because I think a lot of people, when they imagine sort of gramophone records, they imagine something very crackly, and that gives it a kind of patina of age to them, but these are incredibly clear.
The music on Living Is Hard was recorded by the Gramophone Company a few years before it merged with other companies and became EMI at the beginning of the 1930s in Hayes, in West London, at the same time that Robeson is recording and Elgar is recording, and they're electrical recordings. It's in the new manner, and so they really belong to the modern recording period, unlike, say, recordings of say, 3 or 4 years previous.
And to put this CD together, you've spent 18 months going through this enormous archive at Hayes of EMI's recordings. Can you tell us a bit about the Hayes archive?
Well, it's housed in the same premises as the factory and offices that by the end of the 1920s were employing 7,500 people. At that time, they had their own timber yard. You know, they were building record players and things. They had their own fire service. They had their own railway inside the complex. It was an amazing, huge facility.
And your record label, Honest John's, is planning to release more archive material from Hayes in the coming months and hope years. What have you got planned in the pipeline?
The next one is music recorded in Baghdad in 1925-26. And there's music from the Lebanon, I hope, from the 1950s. Iran from the same period in the 1920s. Uganda in the 1950s. Turkey. When the Gramophone Company goes to Iraq, the first recordings, you know, more than 100 of the first records are with Mohammed El-Kabanji, a very celebrated makam singer from Iraq, who they would have paid quite generously and would have sought out. You know, they're always concerned when they go to a place like that to find the right people to bring them the talent, because they know that they're going to have to sell them. It isn't a thing to do with memorialising folk culture. It's to find the talent, pay properly in order to beat off the competition and then sell the records. I love this one called Obu Kofi because there's a real lovely tension between singing a song which is arranged with his collaborators and him just erupting into his sort of demotic tongues. When we had it translated, I found out that it's actually a beautiful lyric about settling over nations, which one presumes are warring, like a bird. And you settle over it with your wings and your feathers, and you calm the whole thing down, and the divisions disappear, which I thought was very nice.
Mark Ainley, thanks very much for talking to us.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.